good morning, Manasa. Sanyasya se sukham vashi. Navadvare pure dehi. Naiva kurvan nakarayan. Translation.
When the autonomous living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all action, he resides happily in the city of nine gates, that is, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done.
Although Krishna has taught us, Karma Yoga already what it is. Now in the Sri Sokaji is giving us clue to help us further how a Karma Yogi should perform his actions in a detached way. It means how to be detached from one's action as well as fruits of action. That's the meaning of a real Nishkama Karma Yogi. He is neither attached to action nor to the fruits of action. So when we talk of activity, certainly we have to talk of the performer of activity. Here, in this three sokas, we will be understanding about three performers of activity. He is going to talk about three different performers of action, namely the soul, material nature, and the paramatma. When one understands the performers of activity and the relationship between them, then one is enlightened by such knowledge. By the end of this three sokas, one will have a proper understanding about what is actually happening in our body, how things are taking place. And also, this kind of knowledge also leads to detachment. Because generally, the living entities in this world always tend to think that I am autonomous in my activity. Everyone in this world very spontaneously thinks that I am the doer of activity. I did it, and I have done it, and all credit should be given to me. So they claim to be the actor as well as the benefactor of the fruits which arise from that action. So this is something natural for a conditioned soul. But when one wants to perform Karma Yoga, one has to understand that he is not the doer at all, nor is he deserving the fruits of the action. So by understanding these three performers and the relationship, it is very easy to understand that we are not autonomous in our actions. There is a superior control over us. One can understand that. Here he says, Navadvare Pure Dehi. Krishna is telling, this body has come back to the city of nine gates. Some classes ago we were discussing about Paranjana. You all remember? Paranjana also, that is explained, the eyes in the body are compared to the windows, the nose is compared to the towers, the body, similarly the hair in the body is compared to grasses and the gardens. Like that, different comparisons are given. So in Srimad Bhagavatam there is a beautiful analogy of the body compared to a city. And in that city, who is living? Paranjana is living. Paranjan means the enjoyer who is residing in this body. Actually, the term enjoyer is not appropriate for the soul because he is a dependent enjoyer. Still, it is sarcastically used because he tries to enjoy in this body. So, the soul being prepared in this body is trying to enjoy varieties of sense pleasures. Similarly, Krishna here explains, Navadvare Pure Dehi. So the soul, when he comes to this world, he is offered a particular field. Just like a child may want to play some game. He may be offered varieties of games by his father, say a chess or a carom, or even outdoor games like football or cricket or something like that. He is offered a game. So that is called as a field. Similarly, the living being is also offered a particular field for enjoyment. But once you get the field, then one should be ready to follow the rules of the field. Like as soon as you accept to play chess and you sit in the chess board, then in the beginning you can make 20 moves. There are rules for that. And you cannot say that I will sit in the chess board and play football, I will kick the pawn. There are rules for playing chess, there are rules for playing carom. Similarly, every field has a particular limitation and rules. Similarly, the living entity achieves a particular body, particular field. But once he achieves that body, then there are three modes acting on the body, which make the body behave in a particular way. For example, a soul has occupied the body of a dog. What can the dog do? At best he can bark, and he will eat some bones, and he has to run from place to place at a particular speed. Now if you compare the dog to a horse, the horse can run better, is it not? Horse can run faster. But if the horse feels that I am better than the dog, see how fast I am running, he is not able to compete with me, then he is a fool. Because the body offered to the living entity in the horse's body, the body offered has a particular facility to run faster, is it not? Every body has some particular facility. The eagle can fly sky high, but a sparrow cannot fly so high. Similarly, a horse can run very fast, but a dog cannot run so fast. Something like, say, if you take three vehicles, the cycle, the car, and the aeroplane. Even if you have the same driver driving these three vehicles, he will not be able to go at the same speed. Because the facility offered by the vehicle is different. Because one vehicle, car, offers a better facility than the cycle to run faster. But if the person driving the car is proud, thinking that I am able to go faster than you, he is a fool. Is the glory to be given to him or to the vehicle? Tell me. Vehicle. Because the vehicle itself has the facility to go faster. Somebody going in an aeroplane may go much faster than the person going in the car. Similarly, this body which we have is offered by the material nature. And this works according to the dictation of three modes of material nature. So as soon as one living entity gets the body of a dog, he has to bark and he has to act according to a particular way. Can a dog get a doctorate degree? Not possible for him. Because it is beyond the scope of that field. It is beyond the scope. He cannot do that. So every field is endowed with certain characteristics and certain qualities. Like if you take a polar bear, it sleeps for 6 months in a year. Or if you take a tiger, it is very passionate. And it roars loudly, and all the other animals run. But the living being in the body of the tiger thinks, just see how everyone is afraid of me. How great am I? So every living being situated in a particular body thinks he is the doer. But actually the actions are carried out by the three modes of material nature. So we can see that the senses that are endowed to the living beings by the three modes of material nature make them act in a particular way. Just like a pig, he is waiting for the stool. As soon as the person passes the stool and goes away, he runs back to eat it. It is like a halwa for him. He is just waiting for the opportunity. Sometimes you can see pigs fighting amongst themselves just to get the stool. You may want to run away from that place, whereas they both are fighting to eat that polygon. Why? Because he is endowed with a particular set of senses which are becoming infatuated as soon as he sees that particular sense object meant for those senses. So this gives us a clear understanding that the modes of material nature have offered these senses. Shrotram, Chakshu, Spashanam, all the senses. The hearing sense, eyes, nose, tongue, skin, everything. He is offered, and a particular set of sense objects are also offered to him for enjoyment. So when anybody does any activity, one should understand that he is not the doer, but the three modes are acting in his body and making him do such a thing. Like for example, Americans, who are very used to eating beef and animal flesh and very rajasic type of food. Sometimes you see when you, in Bombay, when you go down from the railway station down the staircase, wow, like that very sharp stinking the nose, the smell gets into your nose, onion and different types of rajasic food they cook. They put, what do you call that? Hot chili, red color chili, and they put onion, and it just pinches your nose. You feel a kind of, you know, dizziness. As soon as you smell the sound, you feel you will fall faint on the ground, and fainted on the ground. It's so horrible, and you can see practically people eating in front of you. The same thing which is being cooked like that. But you cannot even think, imagine to eat in your dream. But people eat like that. I've seen people eating some 2-3 chilies and 2-3 onions in their plate before they go to eat. They bite the chili and eat. Do you see people like that? So this is rajasic food. But in India, we see many places people eating sacred food. For Americans, if you give this food, they will not find any taste because their tongue has become dead for this kind of food. They want silken taste for the tongue. So they are endowed with a particular type of set of senses. Every living being is endowed with a particular type of senses. This is offered by the modes of material energy. So if there is any ability in us, we should understand that it is already offered by the mode of material energy. Like I was telling you, somebody has the ability to sing, somebody has the ability to speak, somebody has the ability to dance, somebody has the ability to do passion activities, lift weight, do so many things. So all these abilities are offered by the body, which is actually just of the material nature. Why should a person be proud? The living entity in the body of a wrestler or a weightlifter is non-different from the living entity in the body of a mosquito. It is very similar, living entities are there. But the material nature has offered them different facilities to perform different activities. So one has to understand this point very clearly. So as soon as the finisher has come in this body, will be thrown into another field and will be given a set of senses by which will perform different set of activities. But still the living being thinks, I am acting. You all can see that in our life. When things happen, you think, I am doing. I have done it. So in the next shloka, Krishna says, the subsequent shloka, the sannyasi, nitya sannyasi, or a devotee of the Lord, how does he feel having understood this reality? Please read the next shloka, somebody can read.
Translation? The embodied spirit, master of city of his body, does not create activity, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action, all these connected by the modes of material nature.
So the first certain understanding how the action takes place is to understand that we are not the doer, but the material nature is the cause of all action. This is the preliminary stage of understanding, the first certain understanding. All of you understand this example? That we are acting according to the body that is offered to us. So some of us have limitation for doing certain things, and some of us have a better facility. But somebody is offered with a better sharpness of intelligence, that he can swallow so much of data information. Somebody has less intelligence, isn't it? Somebody is offered with a beautiful body. Somebody is offered with an ugly body. But then you can see, when somebody is offered with a beautiful body, how they become proud. You can see that, isn't it? They think, I am this beauty getting. Actually, they are different from the body. But it is offered by material nature. All these things are offered by material nature. Somebody who is worthy, somebody who is beautiful, all these things are offered by material nature. So one need not be proud at all. One should understand that material nature is a cause of all action. So such a person, he feels three things, he says. He does not create any activities, he does not induce other people to act, and he does not create spiritual activities. Of course, he does not create activities means, that means he knows, while acting, he knows very clearly that I am not the actor. My material nature is making me act in a particular way. Like a dictation of material nature, I am acting. That he understands. So because he knows I am not the actor, he does not create any fruits of those activities, which is the third point. Second point, he says, he doesn't induce other people to act. You know what does it mean? Like for example, if you are a manager and you are managing say 20 people under you, and all your management is going on wonderfully, then you may think, I am managing these people. By my direction, these people are working so wonderfully. That is also wrong. Because he knows, although I am taking the role of a manager, these people are all acting under the dictation of three modes, which is acting on their respective body. So it is not by my endeavor that they are acting like this. Everyone is made to act according to the dictation offered to them separately. So he does not induce other people to act like this. So who performs spiritual actions? Only a person who thinks I am the doer. He only performs spiritual actions. Once you understand that I am not the doer, but I am desirer only. We can only desire, express the desire, but we are not the doer. Who does the activity? material nature. He's a Devata activity. So, the ability of the soul is that he can initiate his activity by expressing his desire. But after expressing the desire, he has to keep quiet. He cannot do anything. For example, I was giving the example of a man who is lifting the weight. If he is weightlifting, he may be proud that I am doing. But if he gets paralysis, can he lift weight? It's not possible. Because the material nature is not sanctioning his performance of action. So we can have a desire, but the sanction is given by the material nature. Now, going one step ahead, one may ask a question. Now the material nature is also insentient. How can it dictate us to act in a particular way? The three modes of material nature, they are actually insentient. How can they dictate us to act? Then one comes to the further deeper understanding that Paramatma or the Super Soul dictates the material nature to offer us a particular body. So really, who is the real doer? The Super Soul. So Super Soul is the ultimate cause of activity. Because the material nature is inert. Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deha Upapattuye. It is said when one dies, the Paramatma takes the soul from one body and takes into another body. And it is all conducted by the Daiva. And what is the Daiva? Daiva is non-different from Paramatma. So, God dictates the material nature to put us in a particular body. Like this body is made up of matter. And the soul is Satchidananda. So we are superior to this dead matter. Are we not? Isn't it? We are called as superior energy and the matter is called as inferior energy. Anybody can say why matter is called inferior energy? Suppose the separated energy of Krishna.
Right?
Yeah, yes. The superior energy can exploit the inferior energy. Prabhupada also gives example, like if you take an aeroplane, it's made up of dead matter. That is material energy. But a small tiny sister star, namely the pilot, she gets into the plane and sits and he can take it sky high. He can take it to so many places. He can do so many things with the aeroplane. So he has control over material nature. Like when America some 200 years ago was a completely barren land. There was nobody living there. It was empty, dead land. But then when Columbus discovered America, and then when Americans came to America, what happened there? They exploited the entire country and now we have big, big roads and tall skyscraper buildings and so many industries. So the living beings have the ability to exploit the dead matter. They have the ability. That is why they are considered to be superior. And the matter is considered inferior. Like now somebody has taken this matter and made a beautiful table, isn't it? So by exploiting the matter they have made a table and they have made so many other furnitures also. So this ability is present with the soul. But a very great surprise for all of us that the body is made up of matter and we are actually Atma, spiritual Satchidananda Vigraha. Then why this Satchidananda Atma, which is superior in nature, is trapped by this dead flesh? We always say that we are entrapped in this body. Why should we be entrapped? You are superior to this body, is it not? And why can't you leave the body and go to Goloka? Leave your body and go back to the kingdom of God. You can tell the matter, now I don't want you anymore. Let me go back to kingdom of God. Can you do that? Why are you not able to do that? Even if you commit suicide, if somebody says, yes, I can do that. You may say that, okay, I will just commit suicide. Then this body will be finished. And can you go to God? You will get another body. So you will be repeatedly trapped by body after body. How are we trapped by inferior energy? Somebody else can say? We are under the illusion that we have the body, that's why we want to stay in the body. Yes, already heard this answer. Some of you must be knowing. You read the purport of the verse, this thing, Mamaye Prapadyante Maya Netantarante, the verse is for that. Vaidhi Shesha Gunamayi, Namamaya Dhirattaya, Mamaye Prapadyante Maya Netantarante. You read the purport of the verse, Prabhupada explains that although body is made up of inferior energy, God has ordered the inferior energy to trap us. He has told the inferior energy that he catch his soul and bind him in this body, keep him in this particular body for certain period of time. So God has dictated the material energy, the three modes, to control you and keep you in this body. That's why it's obeying the Lord. So, the soul is superior to the inferior energy, namely matter, but both inferior energy and superior energy are subordinate to the Supreme Lord. You understand this point? Yes, Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti, correct. It is said that Lord is controlling the material nature. So that is how we are now trapped in this particular body. So we understand that the soul is not real, material nature is real in the first level, but then material nature, how is it real? How is it the real? Because it is dictated by the Paramatma or the Super Soul. Now somebody may say, oh, that means Super Soul is the ultimate doer of everything. That means my smoking is also ordered by Super Soul, my drinking is ordered by Super Soul, all my sinful activities are all ordered by Super Soul, somebody may say. So in answer to that question, Krishna is giving the third sloka. Please read, somebody read the sloka.
Not that the Supreme Lord, as if anyone's sinful or pious activity, embodies beings, however, are deluded because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge.
Here Krishna, what is he saying? Nagatte, he says, the Supreme Lord does not take the responsibility of our actions. He says, he is not responsible. Just now I told you, Lord is a doer, but then Lord, what does he say? I am not responsible, he says. Then who is responsible? It leads us to a little confusion, isn't it? That we have to understand a little deeply. Here only the real philosophy of today lies in this question only. Lord says, this word is very important for Nagatte Kashyatit Papam. He says, I don't assume any responsibility for your actions, the Lord says. Although we just now saw that Lord is only ordering the matter to do, ordering the three modes to act on our body and do all the actions. You see, as we were discussing before, we are only responsible for all our actions. Why is it? Because we are only desiring in the first place. If it was not possible for us to avoid sinful activities, then there is no meaning of scripture. You see, the scriptures are given, somebody may ask, three modes of material nature are acting on me anyway, and the Lord is ordering the three modes to behave, to make me behave in a particular way. That means I have no control, everything is happening automatically. So what can I do? That means I am completely controlled by the Lord. So such people think that you have no freedom at all, you have zero freedom, they think, but that is not true. We have a minute free will, which is given to us. By which one can understand what the scriptures are saying, and one can also choose one's field. The field is not imposed on you, but the field is chosen by you. Although I was telling you about different fields now, do you think the fields are imposed on you? Certainly not. How did you get these fields? You understand the meaning of fields? Field means a particular body. Just like when you go to a clothes shop, you may buy the dress according to your desire. You may buy a stone wash or a jeans or a maxi or a different type of dress. You may wear t-shirt or you may wear a coat or a suit. You know, buy different types of dresses according to your desire. But the shop is giving you all varieties of dresses. In the same way, the soul is offered varieties of body. What do you want to enjoy in this world? Lord asks you. And you say, I want to enjoy this. I have a desire to enjoy this. Then immediately that particular body is offered to you. You see, not only our desire is the cause of getting a particular field, our actions also matter a lot. For example, somebody may say, no, 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 I don't want the body of a pig. I don't want to become a pig. But then he is eating food similar to the fish type of food. What type of food pig is? Like if somebody is eating garbage, somebody is eating dirty food. Like in China, here people eat snakes. They have this cockroach fry. Like you eat papad, like they have this cockroach fry. Snake fry also. You say snake fry also. So eat that type of foodstuff, garbage. Such a person may say, I don't have a desire to become a pig. But then God will see his desire as well as his actions. Accordingly, the material nature will offer him a particular body. So who chose the seed? Yes? We only have chosen the seed. So the field is not imposed on us. We only choose the field. But then again we come back to the same point. Once the field is given to you, you should be ready to follow the laws of the game. You have to follow the rules of that particular field. But even within that particular field, there is a degree of freedom. For example, if you take a carom board, that is a field. That's a game given to a child. So there are rules to play. You can hit it in a particular direction, you can hit that, but you cannot hit in a particular way. Isn't it? You cannot hit in your own direction. There are some rules for that. Similarly, the living being, having been offered with a particular body, behaves according to his own modes of nature. Like somebody who is in Rajaguna. He behaves according to that. He is immediately attracted to first class. He is attracted to honor and prestige and status. And he wants to work very hard and get name and fame. So this is natural for him to work like that. Similarly, somebody who is born in Tamoguna, he wants to smoke, he wants to drink, he wants to sleep for 15 hours a day. So these are all imposed on him by the nature because they are the laws of the game. Because he has already accepted a field in a particular mode, so he is also supposed to accept the rules that follow along with that. But does that mean that he can never get out of it? No. So if he can never get out of it, then the scriptures are meaningless. The scriptures are offered to us so that although we are dictated by a particular mode, we can endeavor from our side by utilizing our free will in a positive way to get out of that mode by following the scripture. This is what Krishna wants us to do. So Krishna wants us to become responsible for our actions. And what is the meaning of becoming responsible? Becoming responsible means to elevate our consciousness from a degraded consciousness to pure consciousness. This is what Krishna wants us to do. As soon as he says, Nagarte, I am not responsible, immediately what he means? You are responsible. Because you are a fool, you desire like this. That's why you have got a body like this and you are suffering. So he says, now although you have got a body like this, do not worry. I have given my scriptures to you. Follow the scriptures and follow the indings of the scriptures and elevate your consciousness. So you are responsible, he says. So when we hear from Krishna that we are not the doer, Krishna does two things. Like when he says you are not the doer, he wants us to show that we are responsible for all our actions. But we are not responsible for the results of the actions that come from our activity. So this has to be understood. We are responsible for our actions because by our desire only all the things are, the wrong things are happening in our life. But then if something wonderful happens in our life, we should never think it is because of my ability I did it. Krishna says no, it's happening by material nature. So he says it's happening by material nature and material nature is going on in my direction, according to super soul. So you are not the doer. So I am the doer, Krishna says. You understand? Either way he is trying to make us humble. Somebody can make the point more clear. This is very important to understand. When Krishna says you are not the doer, what does he mean? There are two distinct things here. When Krishna says you are not the doer, he says you are responsible for desiring a wrong thing. You are responsible for that. So elevate your consciousness by following the scripture, he says. At the same time, he says you are not the doer means you are not responsible for all the things that are happening in your life. For example, somebody says, because I am so intelligent, I got into Cambridge University. It's not true. Do you think all intelligent people get into Cambridge University? It's not possible. Because there are 5 performers of action. Today we discussed only 3. So there are 5. One is Jiva, the super soul, the material nature, there is also endeavor, and there is also situation. So there is endeavor on the part of the living entity, and the circumstances should be favorable. Somebody, for example, some child must be born in a particular family and he must have got a training in IIT, JEE, then he was doing his 9th standard, 10th standard, then he must have gotten to IIT afterwards. Somebody who is of equal caliber must have lived in a village and he must not have had any exposure. So his circumstances were not favorable. So he did not get into IIT and he didn't go to Cambridge University. Correct? So all intelligent people of same level need not get into Cambridge University. That means the circumstance also matters. So Krishna says, that is why you are not the bearer of the action. Don't be very proud. So he is trying to make us humble. He says that you should be grateful for whatever wonderful things you are offered in your life. Understanding very well that it's all arranged by Krishna's order to the material nature. So that's what he means when he says, Krishna is not responsible. So best thing for us to do is to completely become free from this entanglement of the three modes of material nature. So there is conditional existence and there is liberated existence. So as long as we are occupying one field after another, like a human body, cat's body, dog's body, they all are dictated to the three modes. So what is the best field anybody can say? What is the best field that we can achieve? I believe by this time all of us understand what we mean by field. You all understand, right? Human field? But even human beings are saying how many corrupt people? Special body. Association of devotees. So we want a field where the material nature is not the controller, but Lord is the controller. We want such a field where the Lord will directly control our life. And also, we want a field in which all of our senses will act transcendently. As some of you said, it is very close to the meaning. So we want a field in which our material senses will not act, rather our transcendental senses will act. And that's who will be the controller? Is it Rajoguna, Tamoguna, Sattoguna? No. Soul? Super soul. Lord Krishna himself will be the controller. He will dictate us directly. This is the body of a pure devotee. This is the best field that one can achieve. Because a pure devotee, senses all have become completely transcendental. He is purified and he is acting only for the purpose of Krishna. Not only that, he is always directed by Krishna, not by Rajoguna, Tamoguna and Sattoguna. He is beyond the three modes. And Krishna has put him in his own circle and he ordered the pure devotees. Like Madhavendra was ordered by Krishna that he gets sandalwood for me. And Krishna orders his devotees like that. So Krishna directly controls them, directly orders them, and there is nothing to give and take with the material nature. So again, the question, how can we achieve that type of field? As we have been hearing till now, that everything begins from our own personal desire. So we may be put in a particular situation, we may be put in a particular body, and certainly our body has a lot of limitation. For example, you can see some of us have a lot of lusty desires. Some of us are angry. Some of us get very angry very easily. Some of us may be becoming too proud unnecessarily. So if you are really intelligent, share the words of the Shastra and come to a point where you understand that I am greedy, I am angry, I am lusty. If you come to the stage of understanding that is the first step. After having understood that, you should make a very special effort to come out of this by rendering devotional service. So this is called as conditioned nature. There are two natures, conditioned nature, constitutional nature. And there are also rules, conditioned rules and constitutional rules also. Conditioned nature means which is according to the three modes in which we are born. See, all of us here assembled in the room today, we all are born in different modes. We come from different families, different backgrounds, we have eaten different things. We don't know what were we in the previous life. So we all are born in different modes. You know, we have in Sattvaguna or Tamaguna, Rajoguna or a mixture of modes also. So it's possible. But now, what is our goal? We want to come out of all the three modes and elevate us to the platform of a pure devotee. So that is the best policy, to become a pure devotee with transmitted senses. So in order to elevate us to the platform, one has to work against one's own mode in which one is situated. So if one is in Rajoguna and Tamoguna, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadaraja Samobhava Kamalobhadaya Sriye Cheta Eta Ranavidam Sukham Chakshaya Pratidati. He says, Sadaraja Samobhava, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. These two things are always pulling the soul in this material world. But when one performs devotion service, Kama Lobha Adiyasya, Kama Lobha and Adi. Adi means many more things are there. Kama Lobha Krodha, Moha Matsari, everything. Cheta Peta Anavidham, Sitam Satya Kasidati. The devotee service is capable of situating a person in the Shuddha Satra platform, which is beyond all the three modes. And then in that platform, one really rejoices in the soul. Sovam Satanamanaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. He is evam prasannamanaso. His mind is completely filled in bliss. So for coming to that platform, one has to endeavor a lot. One has to render devotion service. And especially one should be non-stupid in one's actions. Meaning that one should know, I am not the doer. The middle nature is the doer. And I have no control over any situation. Actually, these things have to be thought of very deeply in one's own heart. When you are undergoing many situations in our life, you should know, what have I done? I have not done anything. This practical feeling came to me when we got our Prabhupada Jayati in Pune. Because this Prabhupada Jayati, for the past 5 years, many devotees have been talking about getting the Jayati Ashwala Prabhupada to Pune. And one fine morning, our Pujari came and told me that we have to have Prabhupada Jayati in Pune. It's high time. We have a big congregation, a big teaching going on. So many things are happening. We have to have Prabhupada Jayati. I said, if donations come, you will have Prabhupada Jayati. And nobody knows how things are arranged. I never even phoned up to anybody. I never personally asked anybody for any donation. We just saw somebody came, this person, that person. 13, 14 devotees came together. They met Rupa Goswami Prabhu and things are arranged. And then Jayati came all of a sudden. So every one of us can get this feeling that we are not doing anything that somebody else is doing. And that somebody else is still Lord himself. The supposed to arrange everything. But from our side, we should show sincerity. We should show a sincere desire to serve the Lord. And then Lord will do everything. So this firm faith is there in pure devotees, that we chant the Lord's name sincerely, then everything will be offered by the Lord. So all of you can have similar experience in your life. You will see that certain situations are arranged, certain circumstances are arranged. And somebody comes to you, he gives you something, somebody else comes, he gives that thing, and then a wonderful thing comes out of that. You can see that happening. And you will see that you did nothing, but it happened. So sometimes students come and tell me, I didn't study at all, I got 80%. I don't know whose mark is it. It happens. Because somebody who studies well, he doesn't get. Somebody who doesn't study, he gets. Because it's all arranged by material nature. But we shouldn't think we will get good marks by not studying. But from our side, we should do our duty. And being non-critical means one should not take the benefit of the result. One should never think, I am the doer, I did it. It's really very binding. If you think, I am the doer of this action. You are not the doer of any action. The actions are all done by mental nature and ultimately by super soul. Of course, Krishna is so kind, he has given the free will to the living entities. Here, the living entities have freedom to act. But then when they are bound by the three modes, lot of their freedom is arrested. Like now I was telling you, say if you are in Rajoguna, how much of your freedom is arrested, you see? You want to become a devotee, but then the passionate desires are suppressing you. Or if you are in Tamoguna, you may have a desire to become a devotee, but then the modes are acting on you, are trying to chant and then trying to sleep like this. Tamaguna is acting on you want to chant. You are struggling to chant, then you are feeling sleepy, falling asleep. Tamaguna, Rajoguna, you are sitting to chant, you are feeling some kind of inside your thighs, like that. You cannot sit in one place. You want to immediately stand. When you stand, your mind does you sit. When you sit, your mind does you stand. You are feeling Rajoguna. Kapila explains in third canto, three types of devotion service. Devotion service performed in Tamaguna, in Rajaguna and Sattaguna, even devotion service. It can be in different gunas. So, when you are subjected to these three modes, you don't have so much freedom. Always, the modes are acting on you and you have to work against them. It is so difficult. But then who is unlimitedly free? A pure devotee. A pure devotee is unlimitedly free, but then again one should understand. He is dependently, unlimitedly free on Krishna. Like Narada Muni can travel to any part of the universe. He can go wherever he wants and he can do preaching. But this he achieved by the grace of Krishna. He himself says that. Later when Narada Muni is explaining in one of the shlokas, he says, by the Lord's mercy, the Lord gave me this Veena as a gift, and also he gave me his special grace to travel all over the universe wherever he wanted. So the Lord empowers his devotees to become unendingly free, but that empowerment is made by the Lord. So both the devotee and the Lord are unlimitedly free. So the devotee is dependent on the Lord for his unlimited freedom. And the Lord is independently having unlimited freedom. That's why it's called a swaraj. And nobody can claim to be swaraj. That is why I was telling you five agents which are the cause of performance of an action. Among the five agents, the four agents are working under the ultimate sanction of Super Soul. The ultimate sanctioning authority is the Super Soul himself. That's why one should surrender to the Lord completely. There is nothing as good as something to the Lord in this world. So this is sometimes in a jail, when there is a prisoner suffering and he is given a death sentence, anytime he will be given death sentence, he will be hanged. Such a person may not be let free by the policeman, but he is allowed to write a letter to the president of a particular country. Do you know that? The person who is sent for death sentence, he can write a letter to the president directly, and that letter will be read by the president, and the president may respond to it also. Similarly, we are now under the clutches of Durga Devi in the material world. So you don't have to run to Durga, please tell me. You don't have to run to any devata. You can write directly to the Supreme Lord. That Rukmini wrote a letter to Krishna. So you can write a letter to Krishna. Please accept me as your surrendered servant. That's what the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed. Ayinanda tanuja shankaram patitam maam vishame bhavam budhav kripaya tava pada pankaja sabiluli sadrisham vichintava. He said, Ayinanda tanuja shankaram, I am your surrendered servant. And now somehow or other I have fallen to this ocean of death. So Lord, please pick me up and place me at your lotus feet as one of the millions of satans, he prayed. So one should conduct devotion service to come out of the mode, and then one can become a pure devotee, and then one can achieve unlimited freedom. So a pure devotee is just like the Lord. He is completely free. So he can freely wander about anywhere and everywhere and do anything he wants. Although he said anything, he had to put it in inverted quotations. That anything that the devotee will do will be according to the will of Krishna. That's why Krishna is giving him so much freedom. Otherwise he would not have given him so much freedom. The pure devotee is there, he is one with Krishna's will. That is why a pure devotee is given so much freedom by Krishna. And Krishna empowers such a pure devotee to even influence the desires of other living entities. This is the power of a pure devotee. If you become a pure devotee, you will have such a strong desire to love Krishna and serve Krishna that you can even influence other living beings. I can give innumerable examples. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, he had such a strong desire to want to see the other living beings becoming devotees of Krishna that they gave up their material desires and they all became devotees. They were influenced by Prabhupada's strong desire to see them as devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had such a strong desire to transform even the animals in the Jharkhanda forest, to see them as devotees. But even elephants and tigers and lions, Mahajat Mahamahaprasad, immediately he gave up his conditional desires and achieved the constitutional desire in his heart. Because of conditional desire says, go to sleep now, don't chant the names now. Conditional desire says, run here and there, don't hear Krishna's names and hear everything else. This is conditional desire. But the constitutional desire is, what is the constitutional desire? He says, oh, Krishna is my Lord, I am his servant. And he will cry tears to want to become his servant. So when he ate the Mahamahaprasada of Ramanuja, immediately he achieved his constitutional desire. Immediately he ascended to the Vaikuntha. So in this way, the desire of the living entity, which is starting from his heart, that is the initiator of all activities. He initiates the activity. When the Super Soul observes the desire of the soul, even before we know it ourselves, even before you know your desire, the Lord knows your desire. Do you know that? Lord knows your desire before even you know it yourself. Just like the fragrance of a flower. As soon as the jasmine flower comes inside, you can smell it immediately before the flower comes inside. You know that, isn't it? As soon as somebody brings the jasmine flower, or sometimes the elephant is passing by, by hearing the bell, you can know that there is an elephant coming, isn't it? Bell comes first and then comes the elephant, isn't it? Similarly, the Lord knows your desire before you can know it yourself. This is the reason why we have to be sincere. Otherwise, you may think, now I will do this and I will kill. I will sit the Lord, you can never sit him. If you are sitting the Lord, you are sitting yourself, that's all. Because he is extremely intelligent. He can know us and he can know our mind even before we know ourselves. So, that's why our prayers of the Vaishnava Acharyas are also pure. They are praying that give us sincerity, give us bhakti, give us surrender. Actually, they are opening their heart and saying, I am a fallen soul. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinks, I am a perpetual liar and I derive great pleasure in others' suffering. So, he is revealing our own mind, how our mind is. So, a devotee should simply become sincere and submit to the Lord that I am so fallen that I am not even able to express a pure desire. Even when I come to take darshan of your beautiful deity, my mind is going somewhere else. I am thinking of my food, I am thinking of sleeping and so on. I am not able to meditate on you. So one should pray to the Lord for sincere desires to come in the heart. And then Lord will give you sincere desires. And when the sincere desires come, so naturally the super soul will fulfill those desires, then gradually we can advance against our conditioned nature. And we can achieve our constitutional position. This is the real essence of performing karma yoga. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
You're saying that before we know you already died, our mind will die. So, you also think that the karma is your past, present, and future. So,
He's asking whether Lord knows all of our desires, so whether Lord knows our future destination, that also does Lord know, he's asking. Lord knows your future destination, but he does not interfere with your shiva. He has given you your shiva. As I told you, even when you are under guna, you still have the shiva. As I was telling you, when you are playing a chess game, even after having chosen the game, you still have the freedom to choose the pawn and move it in different directions. That is in your hands only. So Lord doesn't interfere in that. Although Lord knows all the past, present and future, he does not interfere with our shiva. That is what is called as inconceivable. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah. No, in human beings there are 400,000 levels of human beings. Yeah. Yeah. No. In body also there are different species amongst human beings. Like an animal, we say there are so many lakhs of bees and so many lakhs of birds and different things we say. In human species there are 4 lakh levels of different human beings. Like somebody, we were explaining it in one of the classes before. Like in the first level, a human being is so fallen that he worries only about himself. He is just like an animal. Like you must have heard about one Raman Raghav who killed some 20 of his relatives for his own enjoyment. So a human being can be so fallen. But then later on he becomes elevated and he worries only about his family, then he worries about his caste people. Then in a higher lifetime, he may worry about his community or a state or his country. Then he may worry about only human, then he may have compassion for every body. Then he may become an altruist or a philanthropist. And then he may begin to question about God. And then after coming to God also, he may carry many misconceptions. And then he elevates himself through various religions. And ultimately comes to a platform where he can have a clear understanding of God. So in human beings, there are many, many species amongst human beings. Yeah. No, even in animals also, it's not based on the body, morphological appearance. Like according to Darwin, if you see cat and the tiger, they come in the same family. But according to our Vedas, they come in completely different family. The tiger is in Rajopana, you see tiger. See the power of a tiger and power of a cat. When you see tiger, you run away. When cat sees it, cat runs away. Isn't it? There's so much difference. But scientists say both are same. Because they look alike. No. They both show similar faces. But according to Vedas, the categorization is according to the 3 gunas, not according to the body. Like for example, take a tamaguna category, many animals come in there. Like if you see camel comes in tamaguna. You have seen a camel, how it is? You must have seen also they have some camels. And camel and a donkey, they all come in tamaguna. And tiger, lion, they all come in rajoguna. So, Actually, tamoguna, rajoguna, sattvaguna is a very broad categorization, but then there is a mixture of many, many mixtures are there within this. That's how the entire categorization of animal kingdom and human kingdom is done. That's how. Yes. Different levels of consciousness. It's not just the external morphological appearance.
Like
RYP. Correct. RYP, yeah. Red, yellow, blue. We have the three colors in electro engineering, isn't it? Red, yellow, blue. By the mixture of these three colors, you can get multitude of colors. Yeah. Yeah?
Mataji
is asking, when a person is advancing spiritually, of course his qualities are changing inwardly, isn't it? Does his external body also change? Like somebody is born in Rajaguna, no, he may have a very powerful body. When he becomes a more and more advanced devotee, does his body start becoming thin and very sweet looking? Externally one may not change, but his subtle body is changing inside. Like for example, a person, I was telling you, Americans who are eating garbage or Chinese who are eating garbage, externally the form looks like a human being, but internally the subtle body is gradually taking the shape of a pig inside. So by the time they die, immediately their body is fit to enter into a pig's body. So similarly, now we may be looking according to the guna in which you are born. So sometimes it's very difficult to assess a person. Somebody may, among devotees, sometimes somebody is very tough looking, but you go and talk to him, he is a very sweet devotee. So externally they may look like that, but then internally the subtle body has changed. And then by the time they die, if they become purified completely, according to the subtle body, they will get the next body. Man, buddhi, ahankar, that is subtle body. According to each development, they get the next body.
Our consciousness then pertains the growth of material nature. The growth of our consciousness, or is it other?
He is asking whether the modes of material nature controls our consciousness or is it other way. The modes of material nature only dictate your actions. Whatever actions are going on in your body now, they are dictated by the three modes. But consciousness means the soul. But the soul has the free will whether to do them or not do them. See, you will get a dictation from the mind according to your modes. But you can say no to that. That is the meaning of tapasya. Correct? The three modes are ordering you, do like this, but you can say no to them. That ability is offered by Krishna. He has given us the strength. He has given us the ability by which you can say no to the dictations of the material modes of nature. So material nature will do their duty, but we have to do our duty. What is our duty? To not act according to conditional nature, but to act according to constitutional nature.
For example,
according to them, they act by instinct. They can do nothing. Only in a human body, you have this ability to utilize your free will and say no to the allurements of the senses. Whereas an animal body, they don't have any freedom. It is like a term of imprisonment. Just like if you are already, the government has given an order that you have to go to the jail and stay there 3 months, you have no say. You have to go there and spend 3 months and come. So the animal body is simply a punishment, that's all.
Bogiyana,
they cannot do anything. They have to just suffer. Only in a human body is like crossroads, a junction, where one can discriminate between good and bad, right and wrong. Whereas in animal body, there is no karma at all for animals. Thus, they have to come to human body. But there may be exceptional cases like Shivananda Sen's dog, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivers some animals. They are very exceptional cases. It won't happen every time.
That means
the
soul in a cow's body
might be more elevated than the soul in an animal's body, for example, a human being body,
for example, a Chinese.
No, it's not so. See, this actually is a good question. He's saying in the cow is in what of goodness, whereas a person who is a Chinese person, he is eating all rubbish. So, he is in tamoguna. So, is cow superior to the Chinese? He is not. You know why? Even such a Chinese can become a devotee. She is saying that a Chinese devotee is possible. But a cow cannot become a devotee like that. Yeah, except for exception case. Yeah. So in human body you have the facility to become a devotee and go back from that to God. Yeah, all animals actually.
When you are demoted, so to speak, from a human to a state, does the super soul in the thing realize that he's suffering?
Super soul in the thing? He knows everything.
No, the soul in the thing, the
Atma in the thing, he doesn't know that he is suffering. He thinks he is enjoying, yes. In fact, he is given a set of senses to imagine that he is enjoying.
That's what people say, whatever
his conditions include,
they
agree,
eating rubbish or whatever. And the
red child
doesn't
have that
we get. We don't suffer.
They speak like that in ignorance. That's very unfortunate. For example, all of you here, if you find a person who is completely drunk, and he is lying in the street and crying, he may say he is happy. Do you think he is happy? Because you are on a higher platform, you can see that he is not happy, although he imagines he is happy. Similarly, people who claim to be happy, they are just claiming to be happy in ignorance. If you want to be happy like that, let them be. But they have to take bodies again and again. But we don't want to be like them. We want to get out of this material maya. So the real freedom is there only with a pure devotee, who is not bound by any of the three modes.
Cover consciousness.
Even if somebody says, I am in a cover consciousness and I don't know it, so what's the problem? But you know that the body is suffering. Isn't it a person in Rajaguna? Tamaguna, how much his body is suffering, you know that, isn't it? And the soul also is feeling separation from Krishna for so many millions of lifetimes. He is losing the golden opportunity to be with the Lord and participate in his eternal pastimes. How unfortunate that he is rotting in a material world. Isn't it? You can clearly see that. So a person in knowledge can see. See, when the lights are on, one can see. One can see what is what. One can see the reality. But when one is in darkness, he thinks he is enjoying. He is happy in tamaguna.
Some of our others, we have come here. So, are we missed there?
Are we?
Missing. Somebody is missing us. Everybody is
missing. Oh, Krishna is very much missing you.
Everybody is realizing that we are not there.
Yes, very much. Because in spiritual world, there are very intimate relationships, loving relationships. There are vivid descriptions. In the literature of Goswami, about how Krishna feels intense separation from his devotees, as we feel separation from him also. So we are certainly in a group, and Krishna is also a part of the group, and all the group mates are missing us very much in the spiritual world, in whatever sarupa we be. They're certainly missing us very much. You will realize that when you go back, there is a beautiful description of Gopakumar. When Gopakumar was going back to the spiritual world, Krishna and all the covered boys were coming at long distance. He returned to spiritual world and he saw them coming at a long distance along with their cows and calves. And he could know that they are coming when he saw the dust cloud arising in the sky. And he knew that Krishna is coming. He was slowly moving in the direction. But then the first one among the entire group who came running towards him was Krishna himself. Krishna came running and came close to him and he embraced him tightly and cried tears. He said, so many millions of years we are missing you here. And all his friends surrounded him and they were all crying. Every one of them were embracing him. So it explains how other devotees in the spiritual world are very much missing the devotees here.
How is their suffering
different?
Spiritual suffering?
That is spiritual anxiety, yeah.
I understand that.
Oh, it is very easy. You can see Yashoda, you can see Radharani, that feelings of separation, feelings of union, that is completely spiritual. In the spiritual realm, when one feels spiritual separation, that leads to ecstasy. And one feels union, that is also leading to ecstasy. In material world, even the pleasure ultimately leads to pain. And pain naturally is pain in the material world. Both pleasure and pain lead to pain in the material world. In spiritual world, both separation and union lead to ecstasy. Like in Vrindavan, they said the gopis, every day, morning, evening, they are doing so many services to Krishna. They are in Vilasmaran. And they are seeing Krishna more than when Krishna was present there. That is a great virtue. They are feeling Krishna's presence more than when Krishna was actually present on the planet, present in Vrindavan. So, in separation, a devotee never misses Krishna. Even in this world, when you achieve the stage of prema, you know, you can see Krishna everywhere because of Lilasmaran. One can see Krishna. One will see Krishna at every spot, every point, in every atom, one can see Krishna. And one will feel the presence of Krishna, and one is in great joy. As separation and union, there is no difference in that. They both lead to the same ecstasy. Whereas in material world, even something, even if, like the Jaya Swami was telling, something may appear to be pleasure, like you are now sitting at home very peaceful, lying in the easy chair and you are very cool, somebody comes and gives you 10,000 rupees. Is it pleasure or pain? Suddenly you think it is pleasure, but actually it is not pleasure. You know why? You are living such a peaceful life, but after somebody gave you this 10 lakh rupees or whatever, when it comes to your hand, then you have the anxiety. Oh, how will I save this money? Now I have to buy a bureau. And then you lock it in the bureau and you are trying to sleep in the night and you don't know where you locked it properly. You wake up at 12 o'clock in the night, open the bureau and see. But when a thief is coming, you check the door. So you are full of anxiety. What is considered to be pleasure ultimately comes to pain in this world. Whereas in the spiritual world, separation and union both lead to destruction. Because one can never miss Krishna. One can never miss Krishna when one is feeling spiritual separation. Which one? In that spring? Is that coming? It's not with everyone. It's true with very exalted acharyas. They are called as Nitya Siddha. When they come to the world, they come on duty, like you are sent on duty from a company. You go to certain place and implement the project and you come back. Similarly, Krishna says, go to the material world and acclaim some foreign source and come back. So they are sent on duty and they come here and do some work, refer material work and they go back to spiritual world. But everyone is not like that. So cause, it is causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna. That's the cause by which we serve Dhamma. That's a very big subject matter. Another time we can discuss why we came to the material world. But then the fact is known that we are here now. We have to get out of this world. So now let us chant Hare Krishna. And then we have Mala Sita.